it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Everybody, welcome to At the Hive Live for the SB Nation Network of Podcasts. I'm Chase. I'm here with my co-host James, and we are going to talk about the second consecutive first round play-in loss for the 10 seed Charlotte Hornets, this time to the Atlanta Hawks, somewhat in similar fashion to last year, though I think it took the death came a little bit slower than it did last year, which I guess was better. But James, how you doing right now?
I'm doing fine. I really am. I know everyone's going to be freaking out. Good news. I mean, we're recording just as the game is finishing here. There's 2 minutes left, and the Hornets are tied with their season low right now. So this is the new real game that I care about. Screw the play-in. It's can we avoid our season low in the biggest game of the year? But yeah, look, the first quarter started fine. We kind of even ended the second half okay, and then in the third and fourth just completely fell apart. And look, the Hornets were 5-6 point underdogs coming into this. No one expected them to necessarily win. They were always up against it. But I think it's just the manner of the defeats. In last year against Indiana, this year against Atlanta, like, you just want to be in a close, meaningful game. And this just became, you know, game over halfway through the third quarter. And I think that's what a lot of people are getting frustrated about. I'm very much taking a big picture point of view. Like, this one game does not supersede the last 15 games where Hornets are 11-4. Atlanta have played well tonight. Charlotte have played horribly. We'll get into some of the points about what went wrong. But yeah, kind of what are any of your thoughts or takeaways from tonight's game?
I think the biggest reason that this happened is, like, yet again, the best players on the team just didn't really play well. One of them isn't playing at all. Melo and Terry, at the time right now, are shooting 14 of 43 from the field, with 5 for 19 from 3. Those numbers are both very bad. That's not going to win you any sort of game. Like, I it doesn't even matter how good of defense that they could have played if they were going to limit the Hawks to, you know, what, 100 whatever points. Like, they still wouldn't have won this game if those guys, you know, were going to not make shots and stuff, which, you know, you can't really blame them for. It's just not, you know, you it's not your night every night. And some one of these days it'll turn around and the Hornets will eventually, you know, put it together in a playoffs run or playing game or whatever. But they are still one of the youngest teams in the league, so.
Yeah, when a guy like Terry, certainly tell that tonight.
Exactly. Like, so when a guy like Terry doesn't have it going. Yes, yeah, and that there's so many, like, weird turnovers and, like, just falling asleep on defense. When a guy like Terry doesn't have it going, there's just not much to fall back on, because LaMelo played, he shot somewhat okay in the second half, but by then the game was kind of out of reach. Terry had a good stretch himself. To start the third, I think he had like 7 straight points in probably 2 or 3 minutes. But I mean, that was pretty much it. Was that run they made at the beginning of the third quarter. And then I think Atlanta ended up outscoring the Hornets 42-24 in the third anyway. So that run got, you know, counteracted pretty quickly. And by then they were in too big of a hole. So, you know.
Yeah,
it's just unfortunate. I agree with you though that I did like a bit of a sad intro, but I'm not like super bummed out about it. It's just unfortunate. Like you'd rather a loss wouldn't be bad, but you'd rather it just not be by, you know, almost 30 points.
And the thing is, and people need to remember, like you just can't make a decision on your constructing your roster from two playing games. And I know they are the important games because the knockout games, but. If you're making your roster decisions from your two playing games compared to what the 82 plus 72 games in the last two seasons, it's just not a good process to have. I mean, Terry Rozier was terrible tonight offensively, especially at the start. He was getting all the shots he normally takes. They just weren't going in. Like he wasn't doing anything stupid in the first half. The second half it got a bit wild and crazy, but he was taking his threes, he was getting into his mid-range, and he couldn't get it. LaMelo Ball, same thing. He was taking his floaters, the floaters he normally hits. They were not going in. You know, he then started settling more from three, and he's you know, shot a few tonight, but what is he, 4-for-14 from three in the end? They're not doing anything wrong. The shots just weren't going in. From an offensive point of view, this is. Defensively is where, I really had the concern. I mean, there were so many mistakes tonight. And these are like, if you made this mistake once in a playoff series, it would be like shared around the internet. And the Hornets made about five in the first half. I mean, complete miscommunication for Gallinari to have an uncontested dunk. Danilo Gallinari, like the guy who just, you know, one of the least athletic guys in the league, just going straight down the lane, dunking it. Melo picking up that second foul early, just like bonkers. What are you doing? He then went too early at the end of the first half, leaving time for Trae Young to get that. And Melo's done that before. How many careless turnovers where they've been standing next to someone and they've passed it to their shins or their feet and it's just gone out of bounds? Like, and
so
those are just
pick and roll plays that bounced off of the roll man's feet tonight, like an unbelievable amount.
Absolutely. You know, even like Melo missing two free throws. I mean, that's just unfortunate. But there's so many things, like any one of those things happening in an elimination playoff game is unacceptable. And for them to just happen frequently, it's just this team isn't going to go in it. And I'm sorry, everyone's saying the Hornets need a big man. Big man is not fixing these issues. Unless a big man can cover the whole court in transition, defend without fouling anybody. By the way, the Hornets put the Hawks into the bonus with 3 minutes in the first to go and 6 minutes in the third to go, which then just Trae Young just drawing lots of fouls everywhere. Another just horrendous error that you just can't make. And you need a big man that can defend in transition, that can protect the rim, can also rebound and box out to the elite level, defend without fouling, defend in space, and also communicate everyone so that everyone knows where they can be. There's like two big men in the NBA who can actually do all those things. The Hornets, you could put Miles Turner on this team. This team is not going to be a good defensive team because there are structural issues with the personnel. And it's not that they don't have the tools, but it's just the experience. And I think that's what's really come out tonight. Like, they just seemed so naive. You know, they started losing. They're picking up technical fouls. They're bitching, they're moaning. It's like watching a junior team when they start to lose and they just start to get ragged and throw it away. And that's what I got frustrated at. It's that they weren't keeping the faith. You know, the structure of the game just completely went when they went down. And Borrego talked about the togetherness and staying positive. And I don't feel the team did that in that third quarter. And I know it's hard when the game's slipping away from you, but just so frustrating.
Yeah, no, and I thought, like, even at the beginning, it didn't really seem like they were like, ready. Like, they were, like, sleepwalking. Not, like, actually, but there were so many plays on defense where somebody was just facing the completely wrong direction and someone would back cut on them. Like, there was one where LaMelo and Cody Martin did a really good job trapping Trae Young up top. He made one pass to, I think it was DeLon Wright, and then DeLon Wright just kicked it over to Kevin Herter, who was standing wide open because Kelly Oubre was standing with his back to Herter, like watching DeLon Wright. Yeah. And it was just like, ugh, like if that one thing at the end was correct, the whole possession would have looked really good. And it would have, I mean, maybe Herter would have made a contested three or whatever, but you would just be like, all right, whatever, we'll go on to the next one. But when it's wide open, the crowd goes nuts because you're going up by 9 after being up by 6, after being up by 3. Like, it just adds up and the crowd build. And that definitely doesn't help, too, is the Hornets are a young team and the crowd getting behind, especially because the Hawks have so many players that, like, feed off of that, like Bogdanovich and Trae Young and, like, Herter and all those guys feed off of crowd energy. So
for some reason,
it's a series of unfortunate events.
For some reason, whenever anyone drives into the lane, after that moment, the Hornets just don't ever rotate.
The defense stops. Yeah.
Everyone collapses because the whole ethos is protect the rim at all costs, which I get.
Yeah.
And then the person who drives in passes out, and literally 5 Hornets stand in the paint going, oh God, which one of these shooters is going to take this shot? Like, they all just stand there and watch. Just before we go off, because this isn't going to be a long podcast for us, you know, people aren't going to be in the right frame. So I want to touch on a few positives, because there were some. Cody Martin had a great impact in the first half, guarding Trae Young and just generally defensively making his presence felt, and the team made a good run. Montrezl Harrell, you know, did exactly what the team brought him in to do tonight, was physical, was scoring inside, was a present, had a great block in Trae Young. I thought Jalen McDaniels, he picked up a silly charge, but hit 2 threes. And actually, I thought he, for me, made probably the best consistent weak side defensive plays. I've got it written here that he made a great rotate on the weak side onto Capella to box him out from a rebound. He switched on to Trae Young, did really well. He helped on a Bogdan drive when he was driving on Isaiah Thomas to kind of help on the mismatch. And also he completely cut off for her to drive as well. I thought Jalen McDaniels tonight, considering how much he struggled kind of before that Miami game, I think he can come out this game with his head held high. I thought he was really good, you know, going into the offseason. You now kind of think Jalen McDaniels or Kelly Oubre, who would you rather have? Take all contracts and everything off the table. Like, you watch that essentially a playoff game tonight, and it's pretty clear who this Hornets team especially value more. So shout out to Jalen McDaniels for in a malaise of disappointment for Bridges, Terry, LaMelo, who all had probably D- or below games. Maybe that's a little harsh on LaMelo. Like, LaMelo did some better things and he hit some shots and he did get the ball moving at times, but it may be a C- for LaMelo. But yeah, shout out to Jalen McDaniels.
Yeah, I thought Jalen McDaniels was really good tonight. And I mean, to answer your question, I think Jalen McDaniels played 26 minutes and Kelly Oubre played 16 minutes. So I think that kind of answers the question that you posed right there, at least in terms of, you know, how James Borrego looks at it. And that was something that we kind of talked about on our last episode and on the article that I wrote on the website, was that, like, if Oubre doesn't come out and make some threes and that is coupled with, like, a bad defensive mistake or two, like, he probably won't play very much at all after that. And he kind of didn't. I think he only had 8 minutes up until the game was, like, pretty much completely out of hand. So that kind of thing, it's just like pretty much everything that like needed to go right for the Hornets really didn't, except for, like, Jalen McDaniels played well. PJ was really good in the first half. PJ was kind of the reason that this game was within single digits at halftime. Like, apart from him, like, he had a couple of big threes. I think he had that nice dunker finish around the basket. It probably would have been over a lot quicker if he didn't have some of those timely plays that he made right there. But so there were, you know, there wasn't entirely negative, but they ended up losing by 20 or 29 points.
By the way, Mason Plumlee tonight, 11 minutes. I mean, if that doesn't tell you that James Borrego does not think that Mason Plumlee can, you know, he just can't play playoff basketball. He got benched tonight essentially for, they played Miles Bridges, well, PJ Washington at the 5 for long periods. Montrezl Harrell did better, but, like, Mason Plumlee just did not even touch the floor in the second half. I just can't see him being, I guess I can see him being on the roster maybe as a backup, but I don't see a world where what would you say the percentage chances he's the starting center on opening night next year? Less than 20%?
Yeah, definitely. I was gonna like very, very slim. Like, I mean, maybe like 20-25 would be like the absolute maximum, especially just because, I mean, for one, Kai Jones looked pretty good at the end of the year, so there's that. And then two, clearly Montrezl Harrell would probably be a preference, both from the front office and coaching and just like a general fan team building like perspective. I think he would probably be the preference out of the two. It would shock me if he was the starting center next year, just because, I mean, he wouldn't even be this like not even like unplayable basically if he could make free throws.
Yeah.
Like if Umbrager he was not. Down. Yeah, if he was a 60% free throw shooter, it'd be completely fine. Like that,
maybe not completely fine, but
I mean, not, but like you know, he would be able to play. Like he wouldn't have had to only play 11 minutes tonight. Like he could play, because I didn't think he was like that bad defensively, or I mean, he just couldn't. You just can't put him out there because they'll either foul him and then, or he just won't shoot layups. Like he'll just pass out of all of them because he's afraid to get fouled. And when you're already down, which the Hornets kind of were at the beginning of the game, you can't have players like that in. You need players that are going to be aggressive like Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's
he,
the thing.
He was, and he did pretty well at that.
They got down big, and they're not, you know, they're just not going to come back into a game when they're down by 15 points with Mason Plumlee in the game normally. But I thought they started the game pretty well on Trey. Like, They did.
Yeah, they played really good defense on him in the first half. He was 3-for-13 at halftime.
The Hawks adjusted, right?
Yes.
The Hawks knew what was coming. It worked early on. And all of a sudden, you know, Atlanta weren't getting late in the clock. They stopped getting all the open threes. And every time it seemed like every time they missed the three, you know what happened? Offensive rebound. Every single time, like, oh, they've missed one. And then DeAndre Hunter would come in. Clint Capela would come in. And you just sigh again because, like, this team just can't help itself. That even when they get a stop, they just kick themselves by not being able to rebound the ball because their big is up on the perimeter trying to corral someone. Even though they've got four people waiting in the paint, standing around watching shooters, they still can't get a rebound. All the issues that happened tonight defensively are issues that we are well known. No one should be surprised about that. The offense not firing, you know, is the thing that was a worry tonight. Terry Rozier, I mean, he's finished 21 points, but let's be honest, he's minus 29. Bridges is minus 30 for the game. And both, you know, Terry Rozier's got some garbage points at the end. They've not played well tonight. And that's concerning when your best players are probably Montrezl Harrell and Jalen McDaniels. For the night, and probably LaMelo Ball. I'd say LaMelo, and like, it's just not what you want from your core guys. And Miles Bridges going into the summer, wanting to get paid, not a great lasting impression. And the frustrating thing is, all the national people who watch three Hornets games a year, this will be the This will be the last taste in their mouth, and everyone will now talk about how the Hornets can't compete when the going gets tough. Because look at the Indiana game and look at the Atlanta game, and you know what? They're absolutely right. There's no evidence to say that they can. And until they do, the Hornets are going to have to deal with that doubt. I don't think the Hornets players or coaches will care about that, but I think it'll be no one's going to take them seriously now until they prove it. And they had an opportunity to change that narrative tonight, and they haven't taken it, which is a shame. A couple of just moments. I thought the train blocking the Hornets getting in was a fascinating subplot to the game.
That was pretty funny. I thought that was definitely going to swing the momentum in their favor. That seemed like something that was like, oh, that happens. You go like bet $20 on the Hornets or something like that. But
yeah,
clearly that did not work.
As soon as I saw the Hornets were in the throwback unis, I knew something was going to go wrong. I don't know why they wore those for the playing game. The Oubre dunk, which he missed, which was wide open, and flew back out. I was like, just great, that sums it up. And then when Delon Wright hit, like, you go under on the screen against Delon Wright, and he just pulls up and hits a three, like, and I'm like, oh man, this is going to be another one of those nights. Have you got anything more on this Hawks game? I mean, we'll probably do another pod at some point, because we don't, just that we're not, you know, we've got a little bit more time to digest this, and I don't want this to be our last pod for At the Hive. Big old sad. So yeah, we might have to do something else, just something to cap off the year. So maybe end of year awards or something like that. But anything else to round out this play-in recap?
Oh, I don't think so. Cause like, I feel like we already fleshed out all of our negative thoughts, and I'm truly not like emotionally bothered by this anymore. No. Like,
I was more hurt last year. I don't know why.
I don't know why. Cause we literally just made a podcast being like, we really think that they can win this one, but like, it doesn't hurt me as bad. But last year, cause it was like way more like genuinely embarrassing. Whereas I feel like tonight they just kind of got outplayed down after a while. Like this Hawks, like they have Trae Young, you know, and like they have, you know, Clint Capella is the exact type of big man that causes problems for the
Hornets. Said he'd be a factor. We were right.
We did.
He finished with 15 points, 17 rebounds, 3 blocks.
Yep. And I think what I wrote about was like the perfect scenario for winning this game is if Trae Young shoots poorly again, which he did because they played good defense on him. He was 8 for 24. He scored 24 points, but he took 24 shots to do that. He had 11 assists. And then they could have let Capella had a good game, which he did, 15 and 17, 6 for 9. But their shooters made everything. Like Gallinari, 2 for 5 from 3. Hunter, 2 for 3. Kevin Herter, 3 for 4. Bogdan Bogdanović, 3 for 7. Like none of those guys had a bad night. So that was just kind of, you know, you were doomed from no matter what if that's going to happen. But you know, you move on, because the Hornets still went 43-39. I mean, I don't know if 43-40, I guess, if you want to count the postseason loss into their season long record, but that's still good. So whatever, I'll take it.
Well, we will be back with Mormon Podcast before the end of the year. Thanks for the ride so far this season. Sorry it didn't end better. And that'll be it for our kind of play-in recap. Stay positive, Hornets fans. It's not all bad. Yes. We'll speak to you next time for one last time.
Thanks, guys.